from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Halfway home on a Tuesday. I don't know if I owe Woods any royalties. I don't think he invented halfway home on a Tuesday. Hopefully he is on his way now to Hawaii after waking up early with the family. A well-deserved vacation for our colleague, Stephen Woods. But we got myself, Ben Higgins. We got Paul Reindel. We're here until 10 o'clock today. Got tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, next Monday, next Tuesday. And then Woodsy will be back next Wednesday if all goes well from his vacation.
Then we'll be all together on Wednesday next week. And then I'm out Thursday, Friday.
And then Paulie's gone. So we've got one day with the full crew, basically, over the next 2 weeks. Yeah. That's not great, but we'll do the best that we can. We just had a great interview with Jesse Rogers. Woodsy would have loved that. He always loves talking to Jesse, where we got the latest of what is and isn't going on here on trade deadline day. He doesn't think Garrett Crochet is going to be moved, although he said that's definitely not a definite. If that is the case, and the Padres need starting pitching, I mean, who are they going to get? Jack Flaherty is going to be the premium guy out there. Can the Padres meet that price tag without dipping into Ethan Salas or Leodalis DeVries? I don't think that they can, given the competition for starting pitching, which means you got to go down the list. Can you get Tyler Anderson from the Los Angeles Angels? Can you get Cal Quantrill? I see people talking in the chat. Wouldn't be the biggest shocker for A.J. Preller to bring back someone he once drafted in the first round. Could Cal Quantrill be returning to the Padres? Another pitcher that is available here at the deadline. Keep it tuned to 97.3 The Fan all day long through the deadline at 3 o'clock. Kyle Glazier is going to be in with Annie and Elston and Gwynn and Chris as we get closer to the deadline later today. But we've got constant coverage, and we're keeping our eyes on all the wires and the tweets and everything to see if any insider is going to report any trades. But nothing yet this morning. Last trade that went down was last night. Jorge Soler and Luke Jackson to the Atlanta Braves from the Giants, which doesn't mean the Giants are waving the white flag. They reportedly are still going for the playoffs and planning to keep Blake Snell. So another name that is potentially not on the market here. There's just a lot of confusion right now in the hours. What are we now? 7 hours away from the trade deadline.
Yeah, salary dump doesn't tell me as a fan that my team is still all in and pushing for the playoffs, but I guess we'll see what happens. There's still plenty of time left. If maybe they've got another move up their sleeves up there in San Francisco, I don't know.
If you are stressed by this whole process, if saw that mentioned in the chat, and you don't want to live on pins and needles the rest of the day, and you're looking for something to distract you over the next few hours until someone texts you with the news of what the Padres did or didn't do, I have a recommendation for you. If you have a subscription to Peacock, check out their Gold Zone coverage of the Olympics.
Yes.
Game changer. I don't I certainly don't hate Olympic coverage. You know, it's interesting stories. It's all packaged in prime time on tape delay, especially on the West Coast. I mean, everything obviously in Paris is long done before we sit down to our televisions at the end of the workday. It's what, like 8-9 hours ahead of
nine,
us? So 9 hours ahead of us. It's all completely done. But I think we've gotten used to the point that most sports watching is best done live. However, it's hard to watch, at least in the past, it's always been hard to watch the Olympics live. It's on 17 different channels. What am I supposed to be watching? Am I watching a basketball game? Am I watching judo? Am I watching tennis? Am I watching swimming? You know, and it's got a different channels, and you got to pop around and figure out what you're going to watch. Well, NBC and Peacock have kind of solved that issue by going with the Red Zone model from the NFL. And not only is it like the Red Zone, Scott Hansen hosts it, just yes. like the Red Zone. It's called the Gold Zone, and I was watching the last couple of days, and I must say, they jump around, and anytime like a medal is about to be awarded, they have like their quad boxes, and they can go to different events, and if they, it's a medal like competition, like if two fencers are going for the gold medal, that box will be surrounded in gold, and you'll see it, and then they'll drop in live, and then they'll switch to another event, and you don't have the long lulls. If you get tired of the features and the behind the scenes stories, and sometimes I do, I just want to actually see the sports. This is really just the action, constantly going from venue to venue, whatever's happening. The swimming race is about to start. You get 5 seconds of buildup and then they go. You don't get the 20 minutes. All right, coming up in 20 minutes, we got the 200 meter breaststroke final. And here is all about the 8 swimmers who are going to be in all the lanes. Just 5 seconds, and all right, here we go. The Americans in lane 4, the Canadians, the favorite in lane 3. Let's go and watch the race. And then when it's done, you are off to something else. It's pretty fascinating.
I don't have an NFL team, so but I like football being on a Sunday. Red Zone's the only way to go. Like, once you have it, and once you see how great it is, I'm like, I can't go back to just, oh, what's the 1 o'clock game today? You know, I can't just watch one game anymore. Maybe the Sunday night or a Monday night game when that's all the options you have. But the Red Zone's elite. And so I was very excited to see that they were bringing in Gold Zone, and Scott Hansen, of all people, to host it is great. But yeah, we had it on yesterday, and he's like, coming up, we've got 7 straight gold medal matches coming up. Like, they were just going to be going bam, 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 right to the action, right to all the gold medals. It's fantastic.
And you're not going to love every single sport.
I'm not a huge Olympics guy, so.
Like, I have trouble with the fencing. I can't see what's happening, who's touching who. I just can't see it. But, you know, when they drop in for, you know, 90 seconds,
I can handle
that. But then you, all of a sudden, you're starting to watch something that you would have never turned on. And I was watching, I think it was on...
like, if you're going through the guide and it tells you what's on, you're like, skip.
I was watching the women's team archery final between China and South Korea. I mean, there's zero chance I would have ever watched this, but pop it on, and they go to... It's basically like a best of 5, and they're tied 2-2, so they go to like a shootout for their last one. And everyone gets like one arrow, and they are shooting these arrows from 75 meters away. Think about that. They described it. It's 3/4 of a football field to a target that's a bullseye, like a dartboard that is all the way across. And they're all hitting like the 10s and 9s, like right in the center from 75 meters away. And it comes down to the last round, and it comes down to the last shot. And the shot is so close to the line. If anything touches the bullseye line, it's a 10. If it doesn't, it's a 9. So the South Korean team, who is dominant, that the last shot is so close that they actually have to put an asterisk up. And then the official walks down the 75 meters with a magnifying glass to determine whether or not that line is being touched. And it's a 10 or a 9 to determine who wins the gold medal. And they look at it in the magnifying glass and they go, 10 points. I mean, come on. That's like the unexpected drama that you get from the Olympics that you would have never watched. And you think about, this is me. For me, it's like 5 minutes of my life. This has been the last decade or more of these women like have been preparing for this one moment, because no one's ever going to care about archery ever except for this one moment where all of a sudden everybody's watching it because it's on the gold zone and like they're going for the gold medal. It's a fascinating way to watch the Olympics. Fascinating.
Yeah, I watched, my wife was going crazy about gymnastics yesterday. The U.S. medaled, I think they got the bronze.
The men's team gymnastics.
Yeah, they medaled for the first time in like 16 years.
Yep.
So that was cool. And they were led by, I don't know his name, but the guy on the pommel horse, he had the glasses on.
Or something like
that.
Everyone
was saying he looks like Clark Kent, like before he becomes Superman.
It was his only event. Like the other guys did multiple things, but he was just the pommel horse and it was the last thing. So all he's doing is sitting there the whole time, just waiting in his glasses, waiting. And then they need him to come through at the very end to clinch the medal. And he does it. I mean,
it's pretty cool.
You know, that was a pretty good story as well. One of the better stories from Monday at the Olympics yesterday.
Now, I said I don't get into a ton of the, I don't want to say random events because they're just random to me. But if you're an Olympics fan, then you enjoy all of them. I tend to keep it more to like the track, and I like the swimming, and I'll watch basketball.
Swimming, by the way, while it's repetitive, sometimes I get tired of the, all right, same back and forth, just like with the running on the track. Give Dan Hicks and Rowdy Gaines some credit. They are so underrated, phenomenal broadcasters on the swimming that makes every race seem like the biggest thing that has ever happened. I mean, when they're coming down and making that final turn and Rowdy Gaines is going, all right, they're great underwater. Watch for them in lane three. They're going to make a run right now and they're coming down the stretch and Dan Hicks is going in lane five and it's trying to hold off for the gold medal and the cadence rises as they get closer to touching the line. It's fantastic broadcasting. They're just swimming back and forth. I mean, ultimately, it's not that compelling, but they do such a great job of how they broadcast it and how they package it up that swimming invariably is one of the most entertaining events to watch at the Olympics every single time. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
And the Americans, of course, always do really well, so it's always satisfying to see, you know, another American gold medal in the pool. I don't know. Maybe we just have more pools or do more swimming, but we do seem to do quite well in those events.
I watched Team USA basketball on Sunday morning. Now, you were telling me, what was the spread? They're playing again tomorrow.
They're playing South Sudan tomorrow. It's the South Sudanese team that nearly upset them in an exhibition game last week.
No NBA players on their team.
Yeah. I think the U.S. trailed by double digits in the second half. They rallied, and then they lost the lead, and LeBron made a basket with 6 seconds left, and then Sudan had like two shots and a putback to win it. U.S. is favored by 30 against South Sudan, against the same team that they just had trouble with. I mean, you can see it going both ways. You can see them once again, well, yeah, I mean, they had trouble with them last time.
They just whooped Serbia's ass.
They did play really well in their first game against Jokic.
They had the MVP on their team.
But you could, I mean, you'd be crazy. If you bet on the U.S. and gave 30, and all of a sudden, it's a two-point game at halftime, you're going, well, I should have seen that coming. They struggled with them last time. But then,
when we need Woods here,
if they blow them out of the water, and you go, well, of course, that's what they're supposed to do. It's the United States of America in basketball against South Sudan, a country that's only existed for like 13 years. Yes, they should be winning by 60. So then if they win by 45, you go, well, that was dumb that I bet against the United States in basketball. There's no winning on that one. Only a degenerate would bet on USA South Sudan
right
basketball.
I'm texting Woods.
See if you
right
get him
now.
To, yeah.
Be like, hey, here's the line. Who are you taking?
Get him to bet on South Sudan. He's going to want to bet on Sudan, right?
I would think so.
After
he's not
what
giving
happened.
30.
He's not going to give 30 in that.
Beat by, I said Team USA basketball is playing South Sudan tomorrow, who they only beat by 1 point in an exhibition last week. Will you bet on South Sudan to cover 30 points?
The other interesting feature, and I don't know if I like this one or not, from the Olympic broadcast. Did you see what they're doing on NBC? That they are monitoring the heart rate. Not necessarily of the athletes, although they did that in archery. It was very fascinating. You have to actually let your arrow loose in between beats. If you actually do it like during a heartbeat, you're going to miss. So you have to like wait and time it in between your own heartbeats to shoot the arrow. That was fascinating.
Wow.
But what they're doing is they're actually monitoring the heartbeats of the parents who are in the stands watching their kids. Like at the swim meet, they have like the parents hooked up to a heart monitor and they're going, oh, look at mom's up to 145 beats per minute as her son makes the final turn. Like, You must have so much money to cover this thing that that's what you're spending it on? Heart rate monitors for the parents in stands that are watching their kids compete in the Olympics. That is absolutely crazy.
All right, let's see what Woodsy says here when he responds. Try to get him to bet on South Sudan. We'll give you some context.
He might be in like the, you know, turn your phones into airplane mode at this point. What time were they taking off?
I think they were still at home when the show started.
They were waiting for their car though, so it could be they could be in line to get on the plane. We may have to wait on that. Well, we'll give you an update on Woodsy's wager on South Sudan at some point, either today or on the show tomorrow. Let's take a time out. We got Jesse Agler joining us. Incorporator Tuesday, Dodger series, always a big one. Jesse's thoughts on the road trip that was, and the song lyric Incorporator that we're planning today coming up for the first time. All ahead with Ben and Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We were able to contact Woods, and he has, in fact, made a wager on the U.S. Olympic basketball South Sudan game.
Not who would he take, who did he take?
He took, and he got the hook, so the extra half point. -29.5. He's going with Team USA. Red, white, and blue, baby, for Woods.
Basketball Woods in the building.
A C-note on it. He can celebrate or commiserate with a Mai Tai in Hawaii when he gets there, because that game is not until tomorrow, but putting his money where his mouth is.
I'm sure he'll be watching.
No, I don't know about that.
Probably not.
Actually, time difference. It's going to be even earlier in the day. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of early Olympic action. There was a couple of locals, because I'm Ben, I have to mention it.
Oh, God.
Skateboard Street, Jagger Eaton from Encinitas won a silver yesterday, and Chase Budinger, former NBA player from La Costa Canyon, won his very first match in beach volleyball with his partner Miles Evans.
That's a great story.
That is a really cool story. Great volleyball player in high school, but, you know, basketball is the way you can get to college and make money.
Those are two very complementary sports, though. Like, you would assume a guy that can jump. I mean, he was in a dunk contest, I think, right?
Yeah, he could jump out of the building. He's unbelievably athletic, and he played great volleyball in high school, but then focused on his basketball at Arizona, and then drafted in the NBA, had a solid career, but... once he was done, he felt like, yeah, I still love volleyball. Let's try our hand at the beach game, and has made it all the way to being, I think, one of the top two American teams qualifying for the Olympics and now competing in Paris for Team USA at what is, I think, undoubtedly the most spectacular Olympic venue that probably has ever been created. I mean, there's the historic, like the LA Coliseum, but... the beach volleyball venue, which is right there within a bump, set, and spike of the Eiffel Tower. And they have it lined up so that when, you know, they're playing beach volleyball and they just pan up, the Eiffel Tower is just looming right above the beach volleyball stadium.
Put a picture here in the chat.
It's so unbelievably cool.
I saw a time lapse of it being built. And the pool being built. And they said, it took like about a month or a month and a half, and it looked incredible. And yeah, the landscape with the Eiffel Tower behind it looks so cool.
It's ridiculous. Although the equestrian at like the gardens at Versailles looks pretty awesome as well. They put so much into the Olympics. I know, that is an amazing picture in our chat of the Eiffel Tower. They're right behind the venue. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. And obviously, they spend billions on the Olympics. Los Angeles, their argument in 4 years is, we have so many arenas and venues that we don't have to spend as much as other places do to put it all together. But, I mean, they still, you know, there's that, like, whitewater rafting and canoeing that you need those courses and things like that, which is, it's a pretty penny to build those, like, 200-meter-long whitewater canoe courses for the Olympics. So it is a spectacular undertaking to try to put on the 17-day Olympic Games. And, you know, there's obviously some difficulties and some problems. And they've got the whole polluted river that they wanted to compete the triathlon. They've delayed it like three times because it's still not safe enough for people to go in the water. I don't know what they're going to end up doing with the triathlon. They're hopefully they have a good day where the rains wash out whatever's pollution's in there, and they can let people swim in it. So it hasn't been perfect, but it's been a pretty good Olympics so far.
Yeah, no, it's been fun. It has been great, and kind of getting me excited for 2028 here in Los Angeles, or in Southern California.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you
kind of see how it's being done. I mean, we talked a little bit yesterday about the opening ceremonies. The controversy, I guess, with the opening ceremonies. But the opening ceremonies were fantastic. A little long. It was like, what,
It almost feels like just going back to like SoFi Stadium and doing an opening ceremony in a stadium is not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, L.A., you gotta up your game after that.
My wife goes, what are they going to do, use the L.A. River? I'm like, no, I don't think so.
The one you see when you take the Amtrak train up to Los Angeles, is that the Los Angeles River and the big concrete basin there?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, it's gross.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I mean, the production that went into this year's opening ceremonies was really well done. And I liked the fact that they didn't have just the standard, each country just walks in a group through a tunnel into the arena. You've seen it done a million times. Paris, they took it up a notch, and they had the boats floating down the river. I thought it was great. Curious to see how it'll look in 4 years.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest? Would you, like, do you plan on trying to go to any Olympic events? I think I would. I don't know how.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard I would try and how much money I would spend.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, if the opportunity presents itself, then yes, like, I'd absolutely take that chance. Am I going to, like, plan for months that I definitely have to be at, you know, Olympic judo in Los Angeles just
like
so I can say I went to an Olympic event?
A random event, would you go?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think
it's
I would.
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah, it's not like the Olympics comes around your neighborhood that often.
I had a buddy probably 12, 14 years ago, the Winter Olympics were in Vancouver, and I had a buddy living in Seattle. It's, you know, two and a half, three-hour drive. And he goes, I got tickets from a friend if I want to drive up to Vancouver to go see curling in the Winter Olympics. And it was like two random countries.
I'd go to curling.
And he's like, I'm not sure. And I go, bro, you have to go. Like, you have to go. It's the Olympics. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, most likely.
Game World says, I hear the closest event to San Diego will be in Temecula, Equestrian, I believe. I don't know if that's true. I know that when they had the 1984 Olympics, Equestrian was actually held here in San Diego, at where the Fairbanks Ranch Country Club golf course is. Now, before it was the golf course, it was the Equestrian event. And if you actually go and hit balls on their range, you see they have one of the jumps is still on the range from the equestrian event at the 1984 Olympics. So, yeah, I'd go if I had tickets. Even equestrian, I'd probably go up to Temecula. I mean, the Olympics in Temecula. Never thought I'd see that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
All right, why are we talking about the Olympics and not the trade deadline?
Because we're waiting.
Nothing has happened yet this morning. Literally. Nothing has happened. Teams are still calling and talking. John Morosi just tweeted, the Mariners aren't done dealing yet. They'd like to add one more leverage reliever before 6 p.m. Eastern. The Padres are said to also still be talking about relief pitchers, even though they got Jason Adam and another reliever. But starting pitching has to be the priority.
You've got to go starter next.
Yeah, you can't give up anything for a reliever that might cost you the ability to acquire a starter.
No.
So you get a starter and there's someone else who has a reliever that you can add, fine. But starter has to be first. We will be joined by Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, will join us. Talk about the 7-2 road trip and getting ready for the homestand opener tonight against the L.A. Dodgers. That is coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Well, even with the loss on Sunday, spectacular 7-0 road trip for your San Diego Padres. Trade deadline day and a Dodger home game. What a day for baseball. Jesse Agler is standing by. The voice of the Padres will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Jesse, before we do anything else, what is your favorite Olympic sport? And baseball is not in there right now. Well, it was going to be back in 2028, but what's your favorite Olympic sport?
You know, I've never been like a huge Olympics guy. I've gotten sucked in, you know, here or there to like a good track and field storyline. But I don't know, like I was such growing up like a hardcore baseball, football, basketball guy. And I know basketball's in the Olympics and the Dream Team was very cool in 92. Although for you young folks out there, those games were all on pay-per-view, so we didn't really get to watch a lot of it. But you know, it's just not like ever caught my attention and imagination the way like the quote unquote traditional North American sports did. So I've never been like a huge Olympic guy, but like, yeah, if there's a great track and field storyline, Usain Bolt or Michael Johnson, whoever, you know, like that was stuff that I could get pulled into. But for the most part, it was, to me, the Summer Olympics were always like, oh, it's baseball season, I'm going to watch baseball. And obviously that's still very true these days.
I'm probably guilty, and this is probably kind of an ugly American thing, but of wondering like what Usain Bolt would be like if he was playing another sport, like if he was an NFL wide receiver or, you know, if Michael Phelps was like a catcher in baseball with those giant hands and everything, like what other sports could they have done and made a ton of money at, you know, somewhere else? So probably they chose what they chose for a reason and it was the right reason for them. But I kind of wonder how they do in a team sport, you know, that we watch more often in this country.
We're ugly Americans. There's no question about it.
A little bit. All right. Well, let's talk about that road trip, Jesse. Obviously a long one. Longest one of the season. But it does it go a little faster when the team goes 7-2 and pulls off a sweep and two big series wins against two of the top teams in the American League?
No doubt about it. You know, I mean, I've done more than my fair share of three-city trips over the years. And, you know, generally it's funny because that 10 days or the 9 days or the 11 days, whatever it might be, often feels like a month. You know, and I'll tell you what, there are some times when 6-game road trips feel like a month if things are going very badly on the field. So for them to go out there and not only have the success that they have, but sort of the way they did it, you know, where the two losses were the bookends, So you had that great run in between, obviously, the no-hitter. And, no, I mean, it's funny. It was definitely the fastest nine-game road trip that I've ever experienced. And it was just awesome. I mean, just absolutely, you know, from a big-picture standpoint, exactly what the Padres needed. You know, they needed that seven-game win to go out there and kind of do that to sort of take themselves up a level, and they did.
All right, take us through your process of calling the no-hitter in person, obviously not remotely like Joe Musgrove's. What it was just kind of like for you. I loved the video.
Is that the first one that at was any posted. Level in person for you?
No. But as primary play-by-play, yes.
Okay.
But I've been to seen others. I had one as a pre- and post-game host a long time ago. Not that that counts for anything, but I've seen a couple in person. But that's the first one. Calling it for the team I was broadcasting in person, yes.
And how was, like, the process for you? Did you feel the weight of the moment as it built? I thought your final call was fantastic, but obviously there's a lot of moments that go through a game like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. It felt very, very, very different to me from a broadcaster standpoint than the Musgrove one for a lot of reasons. You know, the Musgrove one was so weighty because there hadn't been one, and he was this local kid. And it was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it just felt like, not that the Cease one isn't a big piece of history, don't get me wrong, but, like, the Joe one had, like, layers upon layers upon layers of drama to it. And then the complications of not being there. And, you know, you're sort of worried the entire time about, all right, you know, am I going to actually be able to see the thing that happens that ends this game or ends this no-hitter? You know, and thankfully, you know, the TV crew that night did a great job in Texas, and, you know, we didn't have any scares. But, I mean, that was the thing that happened regularly during those remote games where, you know, if there's a bad cut on TV or a bad piece of camera work, and that does happen every once in a while, you were left in the dark, and you were just totally, you know, hung out to dry. You didn't know what was happening. And so for that to have happened at a big moment in that game would have been really scary. As I recall, I think it was in the ninth inning, maybe like the first or second out, there was a line drive to second base, and it was like, really close to not seeing it on TV, you know, and it was like, you know, one or two outs in a no hitter. So that was pretty crazy. But, so the Musgrove one had all of that going on. This one, A, I had one under my belt. B, the Padres had one under their belt. And C, we were there in person. So it felt a lot more comfortable, a lot more relaxed. You know, I'd kind of been there and done that at this point also at least once. So it felt just a little bit more, I don't know, under control. Like I felt less nervous. I felt less whatever, but it was, you know, still a thing that you don't want to get wrong. You know, it's a thing you really want to be there for the moment. And it was just really, really cool. And to see the team celebrate like that. And, you know, I'll tell you what, when I saw everybody jumping around behind the mound, you know, after the final out, my first thought was, man, this is what it's going to be like, hopefully in October for this team a bunch of times. You know, just having that kind of celebration and seeing them be able to do that. So it's just a tremendous moment in Padre history. Dylan Cease has been just incredible as of late. So to see him, you know, finally kind of break through that barrier, he's come close so many times, that was really special. It's just, those are the kinds of things, you know, we'll remember for the rest of our lives. And to be able to be a witness to it is something that I always really very much appreciate.
You know, I kind of thought the same thing as they were celebrating. And I actually believe, you know, it's good to have some celebrations, some good memories like that to kind of, you know, will it mm-hmm. into the universe in the future as well. We got Jesse Agler, the voice of the Padres, is with us. It is trade deadline day. I don't know how much you hear, obviously, on the bus of the plane flights, but what's just kind of the mood around the team as they approach, obviously, 3 o'clock this afternoon from what you saw maybe on the way back on Sunday?
Yeah, I think the mood was, hey, we just had a 7-2 road trip. You know, I mean, people were feeling good about that. I don't think there was a ton of, you know, conversation about that on the plane necessarily. You know, it's one of these things that it happens every year. Everybody understands the situation. You know, I think when you're in a position where your team is expected to be a buyer, it's probably a little bit easier than it is, you know, the other way around when you're kind of looking around and being like, man, I wonder if that guy's going to be gone and that guy's going to be gone and that guy's going to be gone. You know, that's not going to be the case for the Padres. Obviously, moves can be made, and so people will be coming and going, but it's not that it feels like it's all going to be taken apart, you know, as we've seen, obviously, at times in the past. So, you know, I think these guys are pros. You know, I think as I have kind of had more and more time around, you know, major league teams. I think players have gotten better and better at being able to compartmentalize stuff like the trade deadline. You know, I think every generation like handles it a little bit better. You know, there was a time, call it a decade ago, when I think social media might have had like an outsized impact on how guys felt and you know, sort of their state of mind. I think that's no longer the case, you know, in part because many of the players now grew up with it, in part because I don't think social media is necessarily having like the same broad impact that it was, you know, however many years ago you want to say. And the trade deadline is part of that. You know, I mean, guys used to like get wound up in that kind of stuff, I think, more than they do now. And that's just sort of, I guess, one of those like natural evolutions and progressions that you see in sports, you know, is that, you know, guys, every generation, every whatever number of years, I think really are more well equipped to handle stuff like this. Not to say it's easy or automatic. Obviously, there's, you know, plenty of nervous guys around baseball today, but I'm telling you, it's weird. Like there's nobody like a Major League Baseball player at being able to just sort of put on the blinders, have the tunnel vision, and worry only about the immediate task in front of them. They do an incredible job of it, and I really think, you know, in today's day and age, better than ever before.
Compartmentalize. Yeah, it's very solid and probably appreciated skill for a baseball player. Mm-hmm. Jesse, when do you allow yourself to kind of get into scoreboard watching? I feel like I'm doing it a little bit earlier this year, and maybe it's just because there's so many teams that are so close in the wild card race, and you start seeing games where it's like clear when, you know, you got the Braves are taking on an American League team. Well, I'm cheering for that American League team now, and I've been doing it a little bit earlier, I think, than usual.
I think for me, I've been doing it a little bit as of late, but only as it relates to the trade deadline, right? Because you have that sort of like mishmash of teams, you know, call it between, you know, a couple under and a couple over in the National League. So I've sort of like been peeking at them, you know, like the Giants of the world and that kind of, you know, grouping of teams. And it's like, all right, I've been watching what they've been doing relative to how are they going to behave at the trade deadline. And so I think I'll probably pull back on the scoreboard watching after today a little bit. And you know, when it comes to playoff positioning, I'll start, you know, depending on where the Padres are, obviously, like, you know, it's September for me, you know, the start of September when I really get into it. You know, August can be a slog. August can, you know, obviously decide some things, but like a lot can change in that final month of the season. So, I mean, unless the Padres get way out in front or way behind, you know, I don't imagine myself doing like that every night intense scoreboard watching probably before September 1st. But, you know, it's easy to say now, and I'll probably get sucked into like having three games on my iPad at some point during August because, you know, that's the way I am. But, you know, I think it's not necessarily worth like getting all the way into until September because you got to focus on, you know, the team in front of you. And if the Padres are doing their thing, that stuff shouldn't matter, you know, as much until you get later on into the season.
Talking to the Incorporator, Jesse Agler, the voice of the San Diego Padres. Jesse, I know you.
Hi, Paulie.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
He's wearing many hats now.
I'm actually not wearing any
Wood's
hats.
Gone.
Right,
well, no hats, but figurative hats right now.
Jesse, I know you do a ton of research before every game, before every series, and we have not seen the Padres' newest addition yet, Jason Adams.
Yeah.
What have you noticed? What stood out to you from him that he could provide to the Padres' bullpen?
If you look at the way he's performed the last couple of years in Tampa Bay, he's a guy that slots into that late inning conversation immediately. You know, I mean, this sort of three-headed beast as of late, you know, with Morejon, Estrada, and Suarez, and sort of the flexibility that Mike Schilt has been allowed by those guys to kind of, you know, mix and match, and it's not necessarily a strict seventh inning guy or a strict eighth inning guy. Suarez is clearly the closer, but, you know, he's obviously been incredible about, you know, handling different roles or more than three outs, whatever it might be on a given day. So, you know, you're now adding a fourth guy to that mix. And as you know, right, with bullpens, every time you add a guy, you're essentially subtracting a guy. So, like, everybody gets pushed down a notch, you know, underneath of that when you add a high-leverage guy. So I think it's a huge pickup. You know, and anytime you're able to, you know, go to a higher-leverage arm, maybe in the sixth inning, which wasn't necessarily the case for this team the last couple of months, that gives you that much better of an opportunity to win. You know, how many times this year have we seen – you know, Mike Schilt really not feel comfortable down a run or maybe even in a tie game sometimes, go to one of his higher leverage arms, you know, in the sixth or seventh inning because he didn't have enough of those guys to be able to get through it. Now maybe you're going to be able to do that sometimes. And so now you try and steal a couple of more victories here and there. You know, those are the things on the margins that matter an awful lot. So getting a guy who's been a very reliable 8th, 9th inning type of person for Tampa Bay, and putting him into this bullpen, I think it's huge. Great pickup. Love it. And excited to see him work.
All right, last thing before the incorporator, and there's going to be a little twist today on the incorporator, but maybe I'm Charlie Brown trying to kick the football, but I really believe that this time it's different. See, they're playing so well. I feel like they have turned a corner, and they're not going to follow this run with a 5-game losing streak this time. Tell me that I'm not crazy, that you're seeing maybe a better brand of baseball. Not that they're going to win every game the rest of the way. I get it. It's baseball. There's going to be some downs here in the last couple of months, but not quite the lulls maybe we saw before. Am I deluding myself?
I mean, I feel the same way you do, and time will tell. But, you know, what I saw, if I'm going to point out one non-super obvious thing about, you know, the road trip, because obviously the starting pitching was unbelievable for the most part. You know, that's something that should stand out to anybody who watched those games or listened to those games. For me, it was the consistently tough at bats that they turned in over the course of the entire trip, even in the losses. You know, they got shut out in the first game, but they grinded and what was that? 7-0, you know, in Cleveland that first game, but it was 1-0 until things got away in the bottom of the 8th inning. They have not, I don't think, prior to this trip, had a stretch that long, you know, 9 games, in which it seemed like they were turning in those at-bats every single inning of every single game. Like, we haven't seen that this year. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a really hard thing to do, particularly against certain starting pitchers. You know, certain starting pitchers you just can't do that against, I think. But they never relented at any point in that 9-game trip, and they were rewarded for it, you know, by the results. And I think, you know, that to me was the thing that looked different there. That's not something we've seen over that number of games consistently this year, which is, I think, why it is the first time all year we've seen them, you know, tear off a winning streak like that. So if they're able to continue to do that, and again, it's, as you said, it's baseball. Like, you can't literally do everything every day. But, you know, the more we see that, I think, you know, the more set up they are to have runs like the one they just had. And I'm with you. I believe there is more coming. You know, like I said, I'm not going to get too far into scoreboards and standings just yet. But I think if they continue to have that kind of approach, if they continue to get the kind of starting pitching that they've gotten really all year long, I think they're going to be in a very, very good position going into that final month of the season.
All right, Jesse, Paulie found an odd play-by-play call for the minor leagues that got us thinking about the incorporator. This is what he found. I'll let you listen.
Low A ball or something over the weekend.
Hit hard toward right field. This is getting toward the fence. This is going to be carry on my wayward son. There'll be truth and you are gone. Mike Hogwood used to say, kiss that baby goodbye. Kiss that baby goodbye there for the tourists. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be truth and you are gone. That one's gone. Oh, yeah.
I've got no idea what was going on there, Jesse, other than it sounded like he was being put up to do something by someone else, which is what we do with you every week with the incorporator.
Some stupid morning show out in Charlotte.
Something
is like, hey,
weird.
Man, we got a good idea. You gotta incorporate a word.
Song lyrics into a call somewhere. So I thought, okay, let's freshen up the incorporator. Let's have Jesse incorporate a song lyric, a line into the game somewhere tonight. Doesn't have to be on a home run call like that, guy. You can do better than that. I know you can. And we took a lot of suggestions, but I saw one. I thought, well, it makes perfect sense. That was Carry On My Wayward Son by Kansas. So you're going to incorporate a Kansas lyric into tonight's game. And your lyric is...
All they are is dust in the wind.
All we are is dust in the wind. That, instead of a vocabulary word, is your incorporator lyric for tonight.
You on board? This is cool?
Love it. Love it. You know what? And anybody who listens to us with any kind of regularity knows we probably have the most philosophical Major League radio broadcast.
I would think so.
Of the 30 teams. So this fits in very nicely. We definitely step back and dig deep into the human psyche.
I know you're gonna kill it, and that's what I'm looking forward to hearing how you do it. And then if that works, the level of difficulty may start increasing on some song lyrics in the future. We'll just see how it goes. Jesse,
love it.
Thank you so
love
much.
It, love it, love it.
Have a good homestand. It's a quick one, and then back out on the road again to the East Coast coming up next week. Get all those miles in before the hopefully the playoffs.
That sounds good to me.
Thanks, Jesse. All right, Jesse Agler with us, the incorporator. Now on to song lyrics. All we are is dust in the wind.
How did it take us like 5 years to finally get to this? I love it. I think it's a great idea.
Because, isn't it? That ball was crushed. Just dust in the wind. No, it's got to be all we are is dust in the wind.
Now, will Tony pick up on it?
That's I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out tomorrow morning. Stay tuned. We got 1 hour to go. Pauly's got some headlines. Something's got to happen here, right? I mean,
come on.
We are 6 hours away from the trade deadline, and there's many moves left to be made. Will they happen in the next hour here on 97.3 The Fan?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.